good, frankly, to our church about the realities that sometimes life is never picture perfect. And that in life there's heartache, and that in marriage there's hurt, and that in families there's difficulty. But when we hold on, when we hold on to our faith, and when we hold on to God, and when we make every effort to please Him, that somehow, God pulls us all through the difficult times. And so the message series that we're going to be doing over the next 3 years is called Never Picture Perfect. And if you've been around my family, and probably it's probably true of your family, it's never picture perfect, is it? When you get married and you're young, you have this ideal picture of what it's going to be like, and it's going to be wonderful and perfect, and things are going to be great. And then the reality of marriage, and the reality of raising children, and the reality of difficult times comes into play, and our families get shattered. There's no difference between the divorce rate of those who profess Christianity and those who do not. And that saddens me, because it is, as a minister of the church, as a preacher of the gospel, it is my desire that we could somehow give faith hands and feet and wings and pull together through the difficult times. And so for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking at good love, and Kristen's going to speak to us this morning. Brad's going to speak next week on hard work. When things get difficult, how do we hold on to keep on keeping on? And then I'm going to take the third week, and we're going to look at real life. And how do we raise our children in a time where there's so many things for them to be doing? There's so many influences. What are some things that we can do to help our children grasp and hold on to God? And so it is my prayer that you will make an effort to be here all three of these weeks. And regardless of what your circumstances are, you may have, you may be single, you may have been through a divorce, you may be retired and past some of these things. But regardless of where you are, I believe that there's words of encouragement for everybody about this. And so this morning I want to welcome and bring up here Kristen Whyta, who is our children's director. Okay, after her video.
Never heard a million voices calling out for life and love. And if I belong to you, what will I choose? We are your hands and feet. Change the world. Reaching out to the unseen, to those who haven't heard. We are free to change the world. Hands and feet, we are free to change the world. Reaching out to the unseen, your hands and feet, we are free to change the world. So that they all will know we're not alone.
All right. Am I on? All right. Hold on. I just have to readjust. Okay, so... sounds weird. So at one time, this was my life. This video was Brian and I's relationship. And he was actually driving around with divorce papers in his car and a book on how to leave a relationship. I had kicked him out of our bedroom. He was staying in the guest room. And at one point, our youngest son, Charlie, had gone into the closet, saw that empty side of the closet, and said, "It was really good times when Daddy and you shared a closet." So one out of two Christian marriages end in divorce. One out of two. And I know that many of you are probably living this right now as I'm speaking, or have already lived it in the past. And if you're living it now, I'm telling you that it can totally transform and totally change. It can change into something that you could only dream about. And if you've already lived this, there's wounds that go so deep in you that you don't know if you'll ever be able to get over them. But there is a way to get over those wounds, and it's through love. One of the most important... Oh, wait. I got my info. Sorry, I'm out of order. Marriage is hard, but God loves us. And that's my family up there. And this picture was taken this fall. And I have to tell you, don't we look cute? Everybody looks so happy up there. But that was an actual torturous experience. You know, you have to get all the clothes out, and they have to kind of coordinate and match. And Charlie, my youngest, is kind of really into fashion, so he did not like the outfit that I had picked out. And he wanted to wear his full handsome suit, which is a full suit and tie and, you know, the three-piece thing with the fedora hat, which did not go with the outdoor natural theme that I had. So we had a battle at home about what to wear. We finally agreed on he would wear his tie but a sweater. Every single photo shoot, he was giving me a hard time because he wanted to take his sweater off so you could see his tie. And we argued back and forth. And then Cole, my 10-year-old, was like this the whole time. Every single picture, he would just give me these frowns. And, I mean, it was like we were pulling teeth. And so this is at the very end of the shoot, and we had to pick them up, and we're, like, tickling them to death trying to get a decent smile out of them. So God, these kids are a gift from God. And as torturous as it can be sometimes to be with them, I love them more than anything. And so one day Brian and I were having this deep religious philosophical discussion about God. And he said, "You know, I think that God thinks of us kind of like an apple pie. We make an apple pie, it's good, we don't think that much more about it. God made us, that's pretty much all that's involved in it." And I said, "Well, what about if God made us like we made our boys? What if he made us and loves us like we love our children?" And that's how I think God thinks of us. And scripture is filled with scriptures about how God loves us as his children. And this is one example of that scripture. It's Romans 8:16. "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Now, just because he loves us doesn't mean that there's not going to be any struggles in life. Because he loves us, there's going to be struggles. And if any of you guys are parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We have this tree in our yard. You want to show the tree? You don't have that one yet? There it is. Okay. So we have this tree in our yard, and it's a really cool tree that you can climb, but it's hard to get up it. And when we moved into this house, the boys were all excited about climbing this tree, but they were still too little. They couldn't get it up it themselves. I can't even get up it. So we put this rope on the tree to help them get up the tree, but they had to figure it out on their own. And they would struggle and struggle and struggle to try to get up that tree, because once you get up there, it's a pretty cool little fort area on top. And they really wanted to be up there so that they could, you know, battle and whatnot. And so, but I would give them pointers. Brian and I would say, okay, put your feet here, put your feet here, grab the rope like this. And sometimes they really didn't want to hear what we had to say. They just wanted us to pick us up and put them in the tree. They didn't want to have to work to get up there. And we would say, no, we're not going to do it for you. You have to do it yourself. And they would struggle and struggle and struggle to get up that tree and practice and practice and practice. And if they listened to us and did put their feet where we told them to put them and grab that rope, that support that we gave them, they eventually worked on getting that up, getting up there. And they were so proud of themselves when they finally made it. And that's what God does for us. Zechariah, sorry, I'm a little out of order already. Zechariah was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he talked about the struggles that God is going to have us go through. And these struggles are what makes, what refines us and what makes us pure. And if we don't have those struggles, we don't have the chance to really get close to God. God wants us to depend on him. He wants us to go to him for help and support. And he'll give us that help and support. And here's Zechariah 13:9 says, I will bring into the fire, I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. So God wants us to struggle so that we will depend on him and so that we will grow closer to him and that we can learn to do things on our own through his word and through his support. So, the marriage is probably one of the easiest ways for us to have those struggles. I mean, if anybody here is married or has been married. And, hold on, I'm totally out of order. Note to self, put numbers on my pages. All right, let me reorder. So God wants us to listen to him like a parent, just like we want our kids to listen to us. And a lot of times we don't want to listen to our Heavenly Father. We just want to do as our children do and kind of learn it on our own. And, you know, if we have our kids and we say to our kids, you know, if you had just did what I told you to do, you wouldn't be in this situation. Right? How many times do we have to say that? You just do what I told you to do, you would not be in this situation. So here's an example of that. For Christmas, my kids got, they each got one of these. Pretty cool. Two boys, right? Pretty cool. However, they're used to battling with Nerf guns, and this is kind of a Nerf gun, but it shoots really far and really hard. So when they pull them out, they're all pumped up about their new weapon, which, by the way, as a parent, I always said I would never give my kids weapons, and then I had boys. So they got a new weapon. They got this weapon. They're all pumped up about it, and we gave them specific rules, okay? This weapon is very powerful. You have to play with it outside only. Only shoot it at targets. Never shoot it at people. Okay, 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 okay. Yeah, great, great. So that later that day, Charlie and I are sitting in his room on the floor putting together one of his little Christmas presents, having a good time, and Cole's in the other room all juiced up about his Christmas crazies. And he comes running in the room. You have that other picture? Comes running in the room, pulls a bow and shoots him, like point blank, a foot away, right in the side of the face. And the second he did it, he was like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, you know, and started freaking out and was holding Charlie, and Charlie's crying and it's starting to wilt up and we have to run get the ice pack, and yeah, there are casualties. So God gives us this map, this tool to know how to live our life. And it's all in here, but he doesn't make us do it. He gives us the tool and tells us, I can help you if you read this and you know what's in here and you decide to follow it. There will be so many less casualties in this world. There will so be so many less casualties in your life. And the problem with the casualties is they're usually the people that are closest to us, the people that we love the most. Those first casualties are usually our spouses and our children when we choose not to follow what God wants us to follow. So when you guys come in here on Sunday mornings, it's kind of like getting cliff notes, right? Chad kind of gives us some pointers of what the Bible says. And, you know, if you're in school, as some of the teachers are, you might get reading assignments. And I don't know if anybody in here has chosen to use the Cliff Notes instead of actually reading the full book. Johnny, here's the cheater right there. So, and you learn your lesson, right? If by just reading the Cliff Notes, you think, okay, I have to read this big novel. I don't want to do it. I'll read what the Cliff Notes say, and it kind of gives me the main points. Then you actually have the test, and you realize you missed a whole lot of information in here because you didn't actually read the book. And you can't just live life or pass the test on the Cliff Notes. So we are having that 40 days in the Word, and that's your chance to really dive in and know what really is said in here and what all is in the Bible so that you can choose to read it and to follow it if you want. So my Cliff Notes for today is on marriage. And the first thing is about being self-centered. One of the things that God wants us to do is to stop being so self-centered. Marriages forces us to focus on somebody else other than ourselves. And 1 Corinthians, you have that one? 1 Corinthians 10:24 says, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." I mean, really? How often do we do this in marriage? Chad and I actually had this talk on Friday, and I was like, really, you don't want to be talking to me about this because I'll just read you my sermon. So, really, I mean, how often? We want something from our spouse. We want our spouse to treat us a certain way. We want our spouse to give us something. We want something from our spouse. But God commands us to always think of our spouse first, to always think of that other person first. Two things about what our spouses want and what the Bible says our spouses want is love and respect. And I'm listening to Dr. Eggerich, something like that. He writes a book on love and respect, and I saw him speak briefly on it at a conference I went to, and it just hit home with me. And it was like our marriage to a T. And basically what he says is that men primarily desire to be respected, and women primarily desire to be loved. And they did a study and went out there and said, okay, men, if you had to choose to be respected by your coworkers, your wife, your children, or you had to choose to be loved by them, one or the other, which would it be? And women, if you had to choose to be loved or to be respected by your coworkers, your husband, and your children, or you had to choose to be loved, which would it be? And men, most of them said respected. And women, most of them said loved. And so in the Bible, God actually has commandments. And the first one is Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, love your wives. God commands you to love your wives sacrificially, just like Christ sacrificed himself for us. So that means that you don't love your... God doesn't say, okay, husbands, love your wives if she does this. Husbands, love your wives if she does not do this. It says, husbands, you love your wives no matter what. And men tend to... Stonewall. That's what you guys tend to do. When we tick you off and make you mad, you tend to shut down and withhold love and affection from us. That's kind of your way of, I don't know, getting to us or having your say in what's going on. And you don't talk to us, you don't really hug us, you just shut down, maybe for days. And that's exactly the opposite of what God commands you to do. If your wife makes you mad, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to love her. That means you go to her, you hold her hand, you put your hand on her back, you hug her, you kiss her, you tell her you love her. No matter how mad she makes you, no matter how much you want to just actually choke her, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go to her, humble yourself, and you love her. And if you start doing that, you're going to see amazing transformation in your marriage. Amazing. But talk about obedience. When the last thing you want to do is show your wife love, but that's the first thing that you do, that's amazing obedience to God. Now, wives, God commands you to respect your husbands. And this is in Ephesians 5:33. It says, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So men need that respect. And we are guilty, guilty, guilty of not giving them respect. And this is just so important for you to realize as a woman that you are the first person that can crush your man's spirit. And it's so easy to crush his spirit. And most of the times you don't even know it. And it can be anything from, you know, you didn't fold the towels how they need to be folded to put them in the closet the proper way. Or you didn't load the dishwasher how I want you to load it. You're supposed to put the glasses on the top, not on the bottom. Or this one was one of the ones that I was really guilty about is the children. You're not feeding the baby properly. You know, you have to spoon the food out this way and feed the baby. Or getting them dressed. Why didn't you put them in those outfits? You know, they're supposed to wear this today. I don't know, the crazy things that Brian brought those kids out when they were in babies, and I was just like, are you kidding me? I mean, if they were on their bodies, that was like his success for it. He did not matter what they looked like. And it would drive me bananas. But I had to just bite it because he was loving them. He was caring for them and getting them dressed. And I mean, that was one of the best things he could have done. And still to this day, you know, I was away yesterday and I always worry about what the kids eat. And I've just come to realize that they're still alive when I come home, so that's a success. The fact that they're just sustaining on pizza and McDonald's for 3 days, and who knows what else, donuts and junk food cereal, and I come home and they're alive. And they're not happy to see me when I come home because the junk food binge is over, but they're alive. And we need to give that power to our husbands and to stop nagging them. We nag and we nag and we nag, and that crushes their spirit. And it's just so important that we lift them up. And it could be something like, you know, you want them to do something, hang a shelf, and they're not hanging it, and you nag and nag and nag to get them to hang it. I've had to learn this one the hard way. It's not on my time that things need to be done. They're on his time. And if I can just give that power to him and say, it's okay, he's going to get it done. It does not have to be on my time. Then it's so much more fulfilling for him and for both of us. Did I pretty much hit it? So the respect is huge. And the one that I am the most guilty about is my tone. And I still have to work on this. And I remember one time I was talking on the phone. This was during one of our rough periods. The phone rang, and I'm talking to my friend, and I hang up, and I turn to Brian, and I blah, 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 say something to him. And he says, I don't understand how you can be so nice to somebody else, but so mean to me. And our husbands are the ones that we have to be the kindest to. And our tone, even the way we look, we're so guilty of this as women. And he'll be like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, nothing. I didn't say anything. And he can just read our tone. And that is disrespectful to him. And God commands us to be respectful. Not to be nagging, but to be respectful and to lift our husbands up. The thing God wants us to do is he wants our spouses, our wives and our husbands, to see Christ in us. We are to be Christ to the person that is closest to us. So the second thing God wants us to do is, this is your second cliff note for the day, is to work on yourself. It's so easy in a marriage to point that finger at somebody else and say, you need to change this and this and this and this and this. And in Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, it will say, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So husbands and wives, everything that comes out of our mouths should be uplifting and good. It should be wholesome and not wounding. Being married is like holding a mirror to your face. It shows every single flaw that you have. And that's what's the beautiful thing about marriage, and that's what we can use it for, to make ourselves more pure. We can make ourselves the godly men and women that God wants us to be. because our husband and our wife can stand in front of us and show us all the flaws that God sees in us before anybody else can. And it's up to us if we want to make those changes. So Matthew 7:35 says, "How do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own?" This is gigantic. This is what we do when we're married. We just stand there and we accuse and we ridicule and we give the other person a hard time and we want the change to come from them. God wants the change to come from us. We are responsible for our own selves in our marriage, our own selves. And we have to change our own selves. What happens between your spouse and God is between your spouse and God. All you can do is pray for them. You can't tell them what to do. You can't tell them how to behave. You should not recite scripture to them. It's between you and God. That's it. So I have a quote up here. "When you stand before the Heavenly Father, He'll not ask you about your spouse's weakness. He's going to ask you about your own." To me, that was profound. So, as we know, marriage can cause incredible wounds. We are constantly wounding our spouses. And if we've gone through the painful experience of actually going through a divorce, there are wounds that we think are never going to heal. But that's just not the case. Those wounds can be healed, and it happens through forgiveness. When you forgive somebody that's wounded you, something amazing happens in yourself. There's this huge transformation. You've been carrying around this hurt that turns to bitterness and anger and even rage. And when you can let loose of that and forgive, it turns into just this beautiful thing, not only for yourself, but for that other person. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just in Christ God forgave you." Christ calls us to forgive other people. And this is the thing about Christians, this is the thing we'd love to talk about, how our sins are forgiven from Christ. Christ forgives us of our sins. Isn't that an incredible thing? It is. It's an absolutely incredible thing. But on the other hand, God calls us to forgive just as Christ forgave us. We have to. That's part of the obedience. That's part of being a Christian, is to forgive other people. And when you're married, you have to forgive and forgive and forgive almost daily, several times a day sometimes. And that's what it is to be a Christian. God commanded us to love God and love our neighbor. Matthew 22:37-39 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Who's your closest neighbor? It's your spouse. God can help you with this. He can help you with the forgiveness. He can help you be kind and be Christ-like to your neighbor, but it's only through His Word. You can get some of it through the Cliff Notes, but it's only with God's Word and through prayer that you're really going to be able to make this happen. You have to be willing to do it. God's not going to make you do it. He's not going to make you climb that tree. He's not going to make you do anything, but He's here to help, just like a parent. A parent, you're here to help, but you can't make your child do anything they don't want to do. So Matthew 7:7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and the door will be opened to you." You just have to ask. When you ask God for help, I mean, we've seen this. We've asked God to help our marriage, to transform it. And it is in a place that I never dreamed it would be. I mean, it is beyond, beyond, beyond what I had ever asked Him to do. And that's how God works. You don't put Him in a box. God doesn't fit in a box. All you have to do is say, "I need help. I'm here, I'm willing, take me and use me, change me, help me be the person in my marriage that you want me to be, God, and it will be beyond your wildest dreams. We're supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Who are we going to be? How can we do that? We have to be that first in our marriage. We're being watched constantly. We claim to be Christians, and we're being watched. And our children are watching us every minute interact with our spouses. If we tell our kids about Christ, they're going to see it in us. They need to see Christ in us. Our neighbors see the way we interact with each other. Our coworkers see the way we interact with each other, hear how we talk about our spouses. Our family, if we want to bring other people to Christ, we have to start living it in our marriages first. So we can't do it on our own. You have to be willing to ask God for his help. And he's here with the rope. He can help you do it. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask for you to be here, your hands to be on every single man and woman in this room today, Lord. For you to be speaking into their lives. For you to be convicting their very soul of the things that you have been calling them to do. We ask that you will continue to guide them through their lives, through their marriages, through their relationships, through the healing and the forgiveness that they need to do to be the godly men and women that you want them to be. Help them know Christ, Lord. Help them truly know who Christ is, what he came here for, and that they could live their life for him. Help them have the confidence and the obedience to follow your word, to seek your word, and to live for you. In your name we pray.
I don't know about the rest of you, but as I sat there and listened to Kristen and read those verses and contemplated those things, you know, that knife of conviction doing surgery on my heart was definitely in place. And, you know, there is no greater challenge than marriage, but there's also, if it's done in a godly way, there's no greater reward as well. And we have a time of invitation today, which is simply this. If the Lord has laid something on your heart, it's time for you to be able to respond. Maybe it's right where you're sitting. You realize that you've not been the husband or the wife or the parent or that you realize that God has called each of us to be. And you need to approach him and just say, Father, help me. Or maybe today you need prayer. That you're struggling and maybe in your marriage and maybe in a different area of your life. But you don't have to go through that struggle alone. And that's the great thing about the church. You're not alone. And that we are here, and we want to walk that journey with you of growing and understanding of who God is and growing closer to him. And if you need prayer, we invite you to come forward and we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. We'll lift you up. Or maybe you realize that there's something missing in your marriage and it boils down to having something missing in your heart, and that's Jesus Christ. And so maybe for the first time you need to accept him to be called a Christian, to walk through the repentance and receive the gifts of salvation, eternal life in heaven with God, a forgiveness of a past, but a promise of a future here on earth that is filled with blessing. It is filled with struggles, but it's filled with healing as well. And so we invite you to make that decision today. Make that decision today. Make that decision.